Good morning. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44540 through 44545. We did receive one bid on track 44546, advertised as 2,500 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 302 acres. 302 acres. The bidder is Patrick L. Donahue, Petroleum Properties, Inc. Patrick L. Donahue, Petroleum Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $60,400. $60,400, or a per-acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $30,200. $30,200. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44547, 44548, or 44549. We did receive one bid on track 44550, advertised as 2,500 acres. Received one bid on track 44546, and it is for a portion. I'm sorry, that's 44550. It's for a portion containing 667 acres. 667 acres. The bidder is Patrick L. Donahue, Petroleum Properties, Inc. Patrick L. Donahue, Petroleum Properties, Inc. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $133,400. $133,400, or a per-acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $66,700. $66,700. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44551 through 44555. We did receive one bid on track 44556, advertised as 480 acres. The bid is for the entire tract, and the bidder is Reliant Land Services, LLC. Reliant Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $101,817.60. $101,817.60, or a per-acre value of $212.12. Annual rentals are $50,908.80. $50,908.80. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 44557. Advertised as 40.017 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Blanchard and Associates Land Services, LLC. Blanchard and Associates Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $17,340.70. $17,340.70. $340.70, or a per acre value of $433.33. Annual rentals are $17,340.70. $17,340.70. Royalties are 22.5%. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We will adjourn the opening bids meeting. The committee meetings will begin around 9:30. Thank you.
In a credit program that he was trying to pass. Oh, you know what I forgot? Our committee chair.
Okay, we have a quorum and we can start the lease review committee.
That's right.
Is Segura still late?
I'm sure that's what
it is. Segura is still late for every meeting.
Yeah.
Chairman of lease review.
I'm chairman. Am I up?
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Called out of the lease review committee. Call for a roll call, I guess, right?
Mr. Arnold, Mr. Segura, Mr. Harris, Mr. Cordero,
here.
Mr. Smith,
here.
Mr. Hike,
here.
Ms. LeBlanc,
here.
Mr. Hollingshead,
here.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
Mr. Bradbury?
Fine for Bradbury.
Mr. Chairman, we have 6 members present in a quorum.
Okay. Gentlemen at the table, you're recognized to give us a report.
Thank you, Chairman. Members of the board, we're here to present the lease review committee agenda. Approximately, we have 1,468 active state leases covering nearly 609,000 acres. And since the last review committee, the Geological Engineering Division has reviewed 90 leases covering approximately 49,000 acres for lease maintenance and development. I have 6 leases to discuss in more detail today, located in 2 fields. The 2 companies that we have are Cox Operating and ExxonMobil. I guess the best news we can start with is that, as far as we know, these 2 companies are not in bankruptcy. Starting with Salish 195C in Quarantine Bay, Cox is our operator and is a lessee also. We last reviewed this lease on May 13, 2015. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to accept Cox Operating's report and grant Cox until April 7, 2016 report on their continued development on the lease. By letter dated April 7, 2016, Cox submitted their annual report, which included the following information. Due to drop in oil and gas prices, Cox development efforts and budget in 2015 to 2016 have been directed toward maintaining a stable production rate on the lease, servicing equipment and pipelines to keep in good working order. Despite drastic declines in prices, Cox continues to maintain production at an economic rate of approximately 1,200 barrels per day. Planned workovers and new drilling opportunities remain in their inventory with an anticipation that prices will stabilize and rig costs will decline. In 2015, they spent over $302,000 to P&A a single well on the lease. And additionally, they spent $320,000 on a coiled tubing workovers on three saltwater disposal wells on the lease. Since the last annual report, Cox has remitted over $3.8 million in royalties to the state. Staff is recommending accepting Cox's report and granting Cox until April 12, 2017, reporting their continued development on the lease.
Any questions? Any comments from the public? I have a motion to accept the recommendation. Motion made by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Watkins. Are you awake, Mr. Watkins? You're awake, huh? You're not. Seconded anyhow.
Second.
Okay. I'm just teasing you.
Okay, moving on to Lake Rackese Field. ExxonMobil Corporation is our lessee. These include Staley's 1450, 1451, 1480, and 14589. Committee last reviewed these leases on November 12, 2015. The board adopted the committee's recommendation that ExxonMobil Corporation meet with the staff by March 31, 2016 to discuss development plans over these leases in the southern portion of the field. By letter dated March 29, 2016, ExxonMobil requested, in lieu of a meeting, that they be given until June 1, 2016 to work toward identifying acreage among these leases to be released and that which is to be retained. The extension of time will allow various groups within ExxonMobil to collaborate among themselves to complete their partial release proposal to the board. Staff is recommending granting ExxonMobil Corporation until June 1st, 2016 to submit their partial release proposal for the staff to review.
Any comments from the board? Public comments? Hearing none. Motion made by Mr. Hollenshed, seconded by Mr. Arnold. Motion carries.
Good morning. I have two matters to bring to the attention of the board this morning. The first is
information. Oh, no, I meant Cadero.
Yeah, Cadero.
They look alike.
The first matter is a report to the board on a request for recognition of the force majeure by Expert Oil and Gas affecting operating agreement A0323 in Iberville Parish due to flooding in the Atchafalaya Basin for the period of January 6, 2016 through April 21st, 2016. The board had previously authorized the staff or gave us the authority to recognize force majeures, so the staff recognized it for this period of time, and that's just for the board's information only. No problem.
What are we on?
Force majeure report, legal and, on the lease review committee. Should be item number three on the...
I don't see it. The nomination track committee?
Lease review committee.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. You want me to repeat all that? Or were you good? That was for informational purposes. The second matter is some old business. In November, the board had recognized a force majeure extension for an additional 6 months for energy properties affecting state lease 725. For the board members who weren't here, this matter started in 2012 with a pipeline explosion that occurred approximately 1,000 yards from the production facility for State Lease 725. And since they were at the end of the line, they've been spending the last 4 years trying to get it back on production. They're at a point where the only holdup they have right now is signing paper and 3 days worth of work to hook it up to a another person's platform to sell the gas into a new pipeline system, and they believe they can get this done in 2 months, so they've asked for another 2-month extension to this, and the staff would recommend granting them an additional 2 months.
Is there a motion approving the extension on force majeure? Mr. Smith, seconded by?
I'll second.
Paul Segura. Any questions, any comments from the public? No objection. Passes. Thank you.
There's just one other thing I'd like to bring to the industry and the board's attention. We sent out May 1st, annually we send out a memorandum to all our lessees, prospective lessees, payors, just giving them some guidelines on what to do if they have a force majeure condition. Since we're entering June 1st, we're entering hurricane season again. So I just wanted to let you know we put that out. We have copies upstairs, and I've got extra copies I can bring down here and put on the back table.
Thank you very much, sir.
That's it.
Nomination and track. Who's that now?
I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Track Evaluation Committee meeting. This time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Arnold. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Harris. Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Hike.
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc. Mr. Hollinshead.
Here.
Mr. Watkins.
Here.
Mr. Bradbury.
Applying for Bradbury.
Okay. We have a quorum. I'd like to appoint Emil Fontenot to present the agenda item. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, board members. Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise 18 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes for where the properties are located for today's lease sale. For the May 13, 2015 minerals lease sale, this office received 2 nominations for advertisement. 9 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the July 13, 2016 mineral lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. This time last year, on June the 10th, 2015 mineral lease sale, this office received 2 nominations for advertisement. The staff recommends they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received in the Office of Mineral Resources for the July 13, 2016 mineral lease sale.
Thank you. I need a motion and second to approve the staff's. Motion, Mr. Smith. Second. Mr. Hollinshead, thank you.
That completes the items
thank
on the
you.
Agenda for today.
Is there any public comment on this item? Any comments from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Fontenot. The motion is second to close the committee. Motion by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Smith. The committee's closed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call for the Audit Review Committee. Mr. Arnold. Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Harris. Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Hike.
Here.
Mrs. LeBlanc. Mr. Hollinshead.
Here.
Mr. Watkins.
Here.
Mr. Bradbury.
I'm for Bradbury.
We have a quorum. I appoint Ms. Newman to please present the agenda.
Thank you. As of April 30th, 2016, field audit collections totaled $956,005, which included $867,136 in exceptions, $56,828 in interest, and $32,040 in penalties. The current number of open royalty audits is 64. Royalties collected in April totaled $10,852,978. Fiscal year to date, that total is $185,625,725. As compared to the same time last year, where it was $386,755,550. Monthly royalty reports submitted in April totaled 387. This included 152 for oil, 180 for gas, and 55 for plant products. The current average oil price per barrel is $42.20 as compared to the same time last year when it was $60.68. This is an increase of $2.44 from the previous month. The current average gas price per MMBTU is $1.92. The price last year at the same time was $2.55. It's also an increase of 22 cents per MMBTU since last month. Really good stuff. Item number one is a request to exclude Goodrich Operating Company Incorporated from the 2016 audit schedule. Goodrich filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy on April 15, 2016. They were a payer from January of 1986 through May of 2005, and during that time they paid $293,264. The most recent audit covered November of 1998 through December 2003. The audit resulted in exceptions of $15,000. Since the audit, Goodrich has paid $26,122 in monthly royalty. Staff recommends that the audit of Goodrich Operating Incorporated be removed from the 2016 audit schedule because new royalty is at risk.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Are there any questions from the public at this time? I need a motion and a second to accept the staff's recommendation. A motion from Mr. Cordero, a second from by Ms. LeBlanc. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number two is staff report on Goodrich Petroleum Company bankruptcy. Goodrich Petroleum Company filed Chapter 11 on April 15, 2016. They were a payer from July of 1993 through March of 2007. Total royalty paid during that time period was $31,893,353. They were last audited from November of 1998 through December of 2003, and they have been added to the current year audit schedule. Item number three is the staff report on the Energy 21 bankruptcies, which includes Energy Partners Limited LLC, Energy 21 GOM LLC, Energy 21 Gulf Coast Incorporated, and Energy 21 Onshore LLC. Energy Partners Ltd. LLC has been a payer since May of 2000. Total royalty paid today is $171,282,059. They were last audited for January of 2008 through April of 2009, and it was a bankruptcy audit. They have been added to the current year audit schedule. Energy 21 GOM LLC has been a payer since September of 2003. The total they've paid is $54,755,778. The audit was engaged in September and is still currently in process. So this one, we were a little ahead of game on that one. Energy 21 Gulf Coast Incorporated was a payer of record from November of 06 through March of 14. The total paid is $18,614,016. This one also was engaged in September and is currently in process. Energy 21 Onshore LLC has been a payer since November of 13. The total paid is $397,797. This one also was engaged in September of 2015 and is still in progress. Item number four is the staff report to the committee that the election for May 2016 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at La Rose and the Sea Rapid Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Taxpayer Global Settlement Agreement. Item number five is a discussion in executive session regarding the BP audits.
Thank you. I need a motion and a second to go into executive session. I have a motion from Mr. Cordero.
Second.
Second from Mr. Watkins. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me bring us back. I need a motion to go back into session, please.
No.
Motion from Mr. Cordero, second from Ms. LeBlanc. I need a motion and a second to accept the staff's recommendation on the settlement with BP.
Moved.
I have a motion from Mr. Cordero, a second from Ms. LeBlanc. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Good. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the committee. Motion from Mr. Cordero, second from Mr. Watkins. Thank you very much.
Good job.
At this time, I'd like to call the Legal and Title Controversy Committee to order. I designate Mr. Neil Fontenot and Mr. Rick Heck to present the committee items to us. So I believe there's an additional item you want to add.
Do you want a roll call?
Yeah. Let me have a roll call first. Mr. Arnold?
Present.
I'm here. Mr. Secretary Harris? Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Hike?
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc?
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead?
Here.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
And Mr. Klein from Mr. Bradbury?
Here.
Right, we have a quorum. Sorry. I designate you all, as I said before, as to present the information. But you have an item to add?
We do. We would like to add an addendum item to the Legal and Title Controversy Committee agenda, which would be item 18, a discussion in executive session regarding a settlement offer from Bridgeline Holdings LP to create an operating track regarding storage of hydrocarbons in the cavern associated with the Napoleonville storage well number 1,
yes.
Serial number 972568, covering unleased state acreage in section 41, township 12 south, range 13 east, situated in Assumption Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument.
All right,
do we have a motion to add item 18 to the agenda?
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to add item 18 as presented by Mr. Fontenot to the agenda. Do we have a second? Second by Mr. Smith. I believe we need to take a roll call vote to add an item to the agenda. So I'll take that roll call vote now. Mr. Arnold?
Yay.
Mr. Harris? Mr. Cordero?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Hike?
Here.
Yes.
Ms. LeBlanc? Mr. Hollinshead?
Yes.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
And Mr. Klein?
I don't think I'm allowed to.
Okay. All right. Well, it's unanimous, so it's added to the agenda.
Thank you. Item number one is a request. Is a request for final approval of an amendment of an operating agreement by and between the state of Louisiana through the State Mineral and Energy Board and Shoreline Southeast LLC. Whereas said parties desire to amend said operating agreement to include shut-in payment language in the agreement affecting operating agreement A-0-280, situated in Lafourche Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument, which has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item 16-14. Staff recommends final approval of the amendment of the operating agreement.
All right. Any questions or comments on item one? Any public comment? If not, I'd like to get
I make a motion to staff's recommendation.
I have a motion by Mr. Arnold to approve item one, the staff's recommendation for item one. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Smith. Any further comment or discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item two.
It's a request for final approval of an operating agreement between the state and Bridgeline Holdings, which we're going to request that item be deferred until next month's lease sale, June the 8th, 2016, and it'll be taken up as item 18 in the executive session items.
So you need...
Request to defer this item.
Okay, we have a request for deferment of item 2 until next month. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to defer item 2. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Hike. Any discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 3.
It's a request for final approval of an operating agreement by and between the State Mineral and Energy Board and MRC Energy Company to create an operating track for the exploration and development of oil, gas, and other condensate and other liquid hydrocarbons, which proposal allocates to the state a state production interest equal to 25% before payout, increasing to 25.5% after payout and into the operating track, covering a portion of former state lease number 20274, containing 16.64 acres, more or less, situated in Bossier Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument, which has been duly advertised and appears on today's docket as item 16-16. Staff recommends final approval.
All right. Staff recommends approval of item 3. Do I have a motion to approve item 3? Motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Watkins. Any discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all for?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4.
A request for final approval of a communitization agreement by Hillcore Energy 1 LP, Intech Enterprises, Inc., OmniMex Petroleum, Inc., Pikeman's Oil and Gas Development Company, State Mineral and Energy Board, for and on behalf of the State of Louisiana and the United States Bureau of Land Management, to create 245.795 acre unit, more or less, identified as the MQRASUA unit, being attributable to state lease number 2227 and 17203, and the remaining acreage being attributable to private ownership and federal leases, Pikeman's Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. It has been duly advertised, and it appears on today's docket as item 16-17, and staff recommends that final approval.
All right. Staff recommends approval of item 4. Any motion?
I have a question, Paul.
Yep.
Bill, I haven't seen this term in a long time. Define communitization.
It's similar to a voluntary unit. The commissioner does not have the authority to unitize federal lands. The way to accomplish that is through a communitization agreement from the federal government, and that allows us to go forward and to receive the monies that are coming due to the state.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And any further questions or discussion? We have a motion for approval of item 4.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 5.
It's a mirror to item 4 with a little different unit designation. It's a request for final approval of a communitization agreement between Hillcore Energy 1 LP, Intech Enterprises, Inc., Pikeman's Oil and Oil and Development Company, the State Mineral Energy Board, for and on behalf of the State of Louisiana and the United States Bureau of Land Management, to create a 390.119 acre unit, more or less, identified as the MQ Stringer RASUA unit, being attributable to state lease numbers 2227 and 17203, and the remaining acres being attributable to private ownership and federal leases, Pikeman's Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument, again being duly advertised, and appears on today's docket as item 16-18. We recommend final approval.
All right. Any questions or discussion on item 5? Do I have a motion for approval as recommended by staff?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Smith. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 6.
A request by Union Gas Operating Company for authority to negotiate an operating agreement with staff covering 0.33 unleased state acres. That's being 0.09 acres of former state lease number 2142, and it's identified in that unit as unit tract 25, and 0.24 acres of former state lease 20494, identified as unit tract 27, situated within the boundaries of the WXRASUA, Harmony Church Field, Section 6, Township 6, South, Range 5 West, situated in Allen Parish, Louisiana. Staff has reviewed the request and determined that the requested operating agreement is in the best interest of the state in accordance with revised statute 30:209. As such, staff recommends that the board grant authority for staff to negotiate terms and confect an agreement. Staff further recommends that the acres be removed from commerce and unavailable for leasing until the August 10, 2016 board meeting or the date of the next meeting of the board thereafter should it not meet that month or until an operating agreement is confected and approved by the board, whichever comes first.
Right. Any discussions or questions about item 6? Do you have a motion to approve the staff's recommendation?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold. Second by Ms. LeBlanc. Any further questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 7.
Item 7 is a request by 5JAB Inc. to negotiate an operating agreement with staff covering approximately 124.513 unleased state acres, being former state lease numbers 19250 and former state lease number 19950, situated within the KRASUA, Drake Bayfield in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. 5JAB Inc. further requests the acres be removed from commerce and unavailable for leasing until the August 10, 2016 board meeting or until an operating agreement is confected and approved by the board, whichever occurs first. Staff has reviewed the request and determined that the requested operating agreement is in the best interest of the state in accordance with Statute 3209. As such, staff recommends that the board grant authority for staff to negotiate terms and confect an agreement. Staff further recommends that the acreage be removed from commerce and unavailable for leasing until the August 10, 2016 board meeting or the date of the next meeting of the board thereafter, should it not meet that month, or until an operating agreement is confected and approved by the board, whichever occurs first.
All right. Any questions or discussion on item 7? Do you have a motion to approve staff's recommendation? Moved by Mr. Watkins, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Item 8.
That's a request by staff to issue final notice to the lessees of the attached list for failure to re-register with the Office of Mineral Resources as a prospective leaseholder by January the 31st, as required by Louisiana Revised Statute 30:123.1. Staff has been in the process of addressing the issues of lapsed registration in an effort to ensure that these parties have been given ample notice and time to re-register. Staff has made attempts to reach lessees at last known telephone numbers and or email addresses. Additionally, on April the 20th, 2016, staff contacted lessees through certified mail, advising that re-registration should be completed no later than May the 6th, 2016. Staff has received receipt of delivery of these letters, but these lessees have failed to renew registration as requested and required. It is recommended that the board authorize the staff to make final demand upon these lessees to re-register by May the 31st, 2016. If re-registration is not completed by this date, the liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $100 per day will commence to accrue June 1, 2016 in accordance with Louisiana Revised Statute 30:123.1C.
All right. We have a question by Mr. Arnold.
How many lessees are involved?
Approximately 45 and shortening every day, but dwindling in. We have somewhere like 305 unregistered prospective leaseholders, and through the process that I've just mentioned to you, we've added down to 45, and actually one came in yesterday, so I think it's probably 44, and if any come in this morning, it's that's the nature of the beast. So we're asking for the 45, and if anybody registers, we just won't send them that demand letter, and that's what we're looking for.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Hyde. What does that mean? What does registration mean? What do they do? Does it cost them? What's the purpose of it?
No, sir. It's just simply to keep their information current with us so that we can contact them in the event that we need to. And it's a simple thing of actually, once they register with us and they submit the paperwork the form that we use and furnish us with Secretary of State's report that they're in good standing subsequent years to renew, they can simply call the office and we will just go over with them the information we have, a 3-minute conversation at all, and they're renewed. And that's the process. And like I say, we start in October, November, we do a mass mailing to all of the prospective leaseholders as a courtesy to remind them. One of the problems is that the individual that might have been assigned that registration requirement in the companies, they're no longer there. They may not have passed that on to the next person that may be taking their place. So sometimes it's a chore for our task. They do, our staff, they do a marvelous job of running this down. For companies, that's not the biggest thing on their plate. They have more things to, but for us, it's important, and our staff diligently attacks that, and we've got it down to 40-something.
Purpose of it being have an appoint man for those companies?
Yes, sir.
That's basically it.
And that's part of the information that they should update. And the majority of the people that we contacted, they're current. But apparently these 45, and some of the 305 that we contacted, they're no longer there as well. So we have new information on contact persons. And hopefully next year this time, or before this time, shortly thereafter, January the 31st, hopefully we'll have more people that will be attuned to this and make our job a little bit easier.
Right? I believe it's also a point person. Any other questions or discussion? Do we have a motion for the staff's recommendation on item 8? Mr. Pat Theophilus.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to make a suggestion, if at all possible. Is there any way that you could put that list out on the website? Some of those may be former clients of ours as far as to contact, which I may not have the contact, which we would. And I think it would be more of an advantage to y'all, if you would, please, if that's possible. We sure would appreciate it.
It's already on the website.
It is?
I'll be happy to show you where it is.
Okay.
Right. And
that, the unregistered ones or the registered?
Right. No, I'm talking about the ones that y'all having the problems with.
Right. Well, the registered ones are on there. We can put the unregistered ones.
Right. That's, I know. I realize where the other side is.
Pat, just state your name for the record.
My name is Pat Theophilus, owner president of Theophilus Oil, Gas, and Land Services.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I might just add, Mr. Theophilus, if he could contact his clients as well come December or so, that would help us out tremendously as well, the clients that you handle. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Any further questions or discussion on item 8? If not, do I have a motion to approve staff's recommendation?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Item 9.
It's a request by MRC Energy Company for a waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damage assessment in the amount of $53,100 levied on the late release of State Lease Number 20274, situated in Bossier Parish, Louisiana. Our records indicate that the recorded release of State Lease 20274 was 531 days late. Accordingly, the owner is assessed a $100 per day liquidated damage assessment, being $53,100, in accordance with the terms of the lease agreement. This is MRC's Energy, formerly Matador Resources Company's fourth infraction, and protocol does not allow the state to recommend a waiver of liquidated damages. The second part of the criteria does not afford a reduction to MRC Energy Company, as the bonus paid 3 years ago or so was $303,880.96, which is larger than the liquidated damage incurred, which was $53,100. A thorough staff analysis and information sheets are provided in your binders. We have representatives from MRC that are present today, and they would like to address the board.
All right. Please come up and state your name just for the record.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Pierce. I'm counsel for MRC Energy, and we appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today.
All right. And also?
My name is Philip Devlin. I am senior counsel from MRC Energy Company.
Great. Thank you.
I'll be very brief. One thing I do have that I'd like to share with you. Is a timeline showing how these 530-some days accrued.
Would you please pull your microphone closer so we can hear you, sir? Thank you.
I'm pulling myself closer to it. This involves State Lease 2274. The company received a notice in October of 2014 from the staff advising that that lease may have terminated for lack of sufficient operations, continuous operations. At that point, the company provided information to the staff, and then there was a back and forth discussion of what was needed and what wasn't needed. It's MRC's position that it followed the advice of third-party consultants on the safest and least risky way to restore production from the well. It took a while, but the ultimate result was that the production was established and established at an enhanced rate. And through those discussions, the state and the company agreed to pursue the opportunity of an operating agreement and avoid the controversy of the lease. But I would point out to you that during those discussions, which were some 531 days. Approximately, as you'll see in that timeline, 430 of those days, the matter was in the staff's hands. So it's our position that it is respectfully inappropriate for a penalty to accrue while the agency is the party holding the discussion and causing the delay, in other words. We were cooperating with the staff throughout that period. It just took that long. So we asked that the penalty be waived because we responded to every request of the staff within days and provided information they requested to continue the discussion and determination, final determination of whether or not their position would be that the lease terminated. And finally, at least through the part of 2015, the discussions had related to whether or not the lease had terminated, not the fact that a final determination had been made that it had terminated. So I'd be happy to respond to any questions you may have in the circumstances.
So what's the official status of the lease now? Terminated?
It's terminated.
Would you still been operating?
Yes, you just approved the operating agreement as your item number three.
I might add also the protocol states that the board may waive the entirety or a further portion of a liquidated damage assessment for cause, or if the circumstances of the late release demonstrates misconduct or bad faith, the board may determine that no reduction of the assessment is warranted. In making your determination, the board will consider that, among other factors, the number of prior appearances before the board requesting waiver, the number of days late before release recordation, the present leasing activity in the area for those 530 days, and there was no significant activity that would have affected the late release. And the fourth item of the protocol, not to be limited to that, is the severity condition of the request.
So, I would add that we certainly appreciate the efforts of the staff throughout this process. They very much assisted us. It's simply a matter that this thing took that long to assess, analyze, and come to a final conclusion on. So culminating in the agreement to drop the lease and instead enter into the operating agreement.
So can someone from the staff describe to us, other than what MRC relayed to us, what transpired?
I guess the question is, how long does it normally take to get an operating agreement in place after a lease has expired?
For the record, my name is Charles Bradbury. I'm the petroleum engineer for the Office of Mineral Resources, and I also work for you all. As one of my duties is to manage operating agreements from the time they become an idea to the point in time where they're conceived, and then I track them forever and ever there forward. So basically, I live, breathe, and all that operating agreements. I also am part of the lease maintenance issue, which is where this all started, and it started in 2014. The thing that happened was is their paperwork from April-May meeting we had, the paperwork that they had submitted after the meeting got lost. So we had somebody reminded me of that. We went and sent a second, did you send this information? That's when that gap from approximately June when you sent that to September is a three-month gap. Now, we had already been talking to them at that point in time for 7-8 months at that point. So we got the second thing in. As soon as we got it, circled the wagons again, wrote them a letter. At the end of September, we wrote our final opinion on the thing. Two of them wrote them a letter saying that we believe the lease has expired in its entirety. Come in and negotiate an operating agreement. November 16th, we met with them to discuss the operating agreement, which is part of the procedures. We have an internal discussion to see if we're going to recommend it to the board. December, the board approved negotiations of the operating agreement. February, I got my little timeline here. February, we have them tee up. We have a form online. I'll look my paper over there. February, we had them send a copy of their draft of the operating agreement. We reviewed it internally. We had some land issues we had to resolve. That took a little more time, staff. We finally got a final form out, and it took the whole 6 months. The board had granted us 6 months to do it because we also had some legal issues. This is a concursus property, title dispute, and we're trying to resolve all of that before we sign the final agreement on this. Now, the other thing here, thank you. The other thing here, too, is we had told them they need to be releasing this all along. Okay. And even as far back as last May, we said, if we decide to proceed with an operating agreement, you need to release it to quit accruing penalty on this thing here. So we did do that. However, I can't make anybody do anything. I can just suggest it. That's what happened. If anybody wants to lay the total blame of whatever happened on this end, since it's my responsibility, I'm the one to point the finger at.
Well, I want to suggest that Mr. Bradbury did an extraordinarily professional job, and there's no blame here. But what happened is circumstances. The reason that we did not grant the release during the pendency of the discussions was we did not believe the release had legally terminated. And we thought we had a bona fide, good faith argument that the release had been maintained, and then we decided the better course would be to cooperate with the staff, avoid a bunch of litigation, and go ahead and enter into an operating agreement willingly. But we don't think it is appropriate in those circumstances to impose this penalty of $51,000. So that's it in a nutshell. We totally agree. There's no
The state's percentage obviously was higher with the operating agreement, correct?
Yeah, we're going to get more. If the well reaches payoff, then we'll get some more, a little extra 0.5% royalty on our acreage, which is part of the whole risk, part of the all the rules behind an operating agreement in the first place.
Right.
So you didn't necessarily want to release the lease until you got the operating agreement? Is that it?
We didn't want to release a lease that we felt was valid until we had the other bird in the hand. I mean, it was just practicality.
It's not the first time this has happened with another operator years ago, and they get nervous.
Right. Mr. Hack?
Yes, sir. Well, what disturbs me was that this is a fourth infraction. Do you agree with that?
I don't have any knowledge of that. I'm outside counsel.
Neither do I, sir. I'm unaware of the fact that there were three other infractions.
Well, to your knowledge, this is the first.
Could tell us what they were.
Your knowledge, sir, it's the first infraction?
I don't know.
This is the fourth infraction.
I do not take issue with his statement. I just don't know what they are.
Well, why would you not know if you're the attorney?
Because nobody had ever brought it up to me before. It was not the staff. This is the first time I've heard that there was a fourth infraction sitting here today in our discussions.
So when there's such an infraction, you're not informed of it?
I was not informed of it, and in the discussions with the staff, it never came up. They didn't say, by the way, this is your fourth infraction. I didn't know it was on an issue in the matter.
So when there is an infraction, is the company informed of an infraction?
Yes, they are. And
by how?
Thank you.
They're certified mail?
Yeah, well, by mail, and we tell them that they'll be placed on the agenda to discuss this particular infraction, and they should be present and available to address the board. The first question was, there were three infractions. One was back on 7/20/2009. The second one, again, both were $600 infractions. They were waived and no penalty at all. The third one was on November the 30th, 2009. This was a $21,300 penalty. For all three were late releases, and they were waived. All three of these penalties, previous penalties, were waived. These were under Matador Resources, and they go by the name of MRC, which I'm assuming that Matador Resources company is.
It's a successor.
Successor.
Same company.
And is that infraction? Are they notified by certified mail, or are they just by U.S. mail, just regular mail?
I think it's U.S. mail, and they all know, just as in this case, they were aware, and they requested to come before the board, and that's the policy that we use with everyone. We save a little postage here and there. We have good communications for them to come and be
represented. I would suggest you send it by certified mail so that you have some evidence of what you've done, but, I mean, that's a policy that you need to kind of review in my mind, but
very noted.
Mr. Hack, we don't, like I said, we don't have any knowledge of it, but we don't dispute that those occurred. We just don't know about them.
Were you general counsel?
No.
No, sir.
I'm outside counsel.
You're outside counsel.
Family Barnhart in New Orleans.
Sir, you're general counsel.
I am senior counsel. Mr. Pierce is outside counsel.
Were you in such a position in 09?
No, sir, I was not.
Were you working for the company then?
No, sir, I was not. I've only worked for the company for a little over a year. But as Mr. Pierce said, we have no reason to dispute the fact that these things did occur. I was just unaware of them, and nobody had brought them to my attention.
Well, yeah, but obviously somebody brought it to the attention of your company,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
In their defense, it was such minimal, the first two infractions. I don't know if that the third wasn't correct, but like I say, people have more important things to do than to do this release. It's very important to us and for whatever that's worth.
Just to be clear, Mr. Hyde, the two people at this table did not have personal knowledge of the prior infractions. The company's knowledge is the company's knowledge, and it succeeds to whoever succeeds there.
But I don't accept that, sir, because if you're counsel, and this is lead counsel, and you come before this mineral board in such a position, and you know that this is on the agenda, you ought to be able to address this one way or another.
Well, I am.
I accept what you say, but I...
All right, well, I
accept what you say.
I don't want to argue with you. I'm just trying to make
sure. A lot of credence. If you're going to come before the mineral board and ask for a waiving of a penalty, you need to tell us why. In my mind, number one, and number two, you need to have the facts with regards to what is on the agenda. I would hope that you would come before us and say, yes, we've had these problems before, but we've corrected or whatever. But
well, I can assure you they'll be corrected from here on, but it was a fair statement to say that when we got involved in this, we were not told there were prior infractions. We didn't get a letter in this case saying,
that's
by
correct.
The way, you have prior infractions, be prepared to address that with the board. I did not receive that notice, or I would have been prepared, believe me.
That's a good note. It's noted, and I will adjust the letters going out to that effect.
Any other questions or discussion?
I'd like to make a motion based on pretty much three factors. One being that there was some delay due to paperwork misplacement from the staff. Two being that the area of which this former lease is in is actually very slow in production. And the third factor being that the state is actually in a better position now with operating agreement than we were with the original lease, that we waive 100% of the penalty.
I'll second that motion.
Right, we have a motion by Mr. Arnold for 100% waiver, second by Mr. Smith. Any further questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, thank you. Item 8, yeah. I believe.
Item Number 10, yes, sir. It's a request by staff for final approval of the proposed new lease form, and the staff's recommending deferring this item until the June 2016 board meeting.
All right. Any questions or discussion on item 10?
I do. I have.
Mr. Hike?
Mr. Neal, let me ask you this. And any other staff member? Please pipe up if you'd like. But as I understand it, the last time we had a discussion with the attorneys that were representing the objections to the proposed lease, that was Mr. Smart and I think Mr. Nicholson.
Nicholson.
And they came before us, correct me if I'm wrong, and said there were only three areas of objection.
There were four, but two were insignificant. There were two major. Yes, sir. The signature page and the notice.
And the notice.
Those were the two.
And assignment, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
Audit, right?
And the audits, yes, sir.
And everything else in the proposed lease they agreed upon.
That is correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you know whether or not that was reflected in our minutes?
I would say yes. I'll have to double check to verify that.
But if it isn't, you're confirming what I thought.
Yes, sir. No, sir. It, to me, in my mind, it was always down to these four items, and two were really insignificant. Correct.
Significant ones were the assignment and the audit, right?
Yes, sir.
I believe that was in the March meeting.
Pardon me?
The March meeting. It's in the minutes.
Oh, okay, good. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're going to recommend to defer to the June 2016 meeting.
Right. So the staff is recommending to defer approval of the new lease form until next month.
Yes, sir.
Any further questions or discussion or public comments? If not, all in favor?
Make a motion to defer.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Move. Do I have a motion to defer? One by Mr. Hike. Motion by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Arnold. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
Items number 11 through 17 and the addendum item 18 would be an executive session, and they are item 11, a suit entitled L.D. Nugaz et al. Versus the State of Louisiana et al., docket number 99694, Division F, 15th JDC in Vermillion Parish, Louisiana. Item 12, suit entitled State of Louisiana versus ASA Properties et al., docket number 72779, Section B, 42nd JDC in DeSoto Parish, Louisiana. Item 13 is a suit entitled State of Louisiana versus ASA Properties et al., docket number 35809, 39th JDC, Red River Parish, Louisiana. 14 is a suit entitled Chesapeake, Louisiana, LP versus Pintail Properties, LLC, et al., docket number 35565 in the 39th JDC, Red River Parish, Louisiana. Item 15 is suit entitled Petrohawk Operating Company versus Chesapeake, Louisiana, LP, et al., docket number 35903, 39th JDC, Red River Parish, Louisiana. 16 is a suit entitled QEP Energy Company versus Pintail Properties et al., docket number 35801, 39th JDC, Red River Parish, Louisiana. Item 17 is a suit entitled Stroud Petroleum Inc. versus Pintail Properties LLC et al., docket number 34865, 39th JDC, Red River Parish. And the addendum item number 18 is a discussion in executive session regarding a settlement offer from Bridgeline Holdings LP to create an operating track regarding storage of hydrocarbons in the cavern associated with Napoleonville Storage Well Number 1, serial number 972568, covering unleased state acreage in Section 41, Township 12 South, Range 13 East, Assumption Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument.
Right. You've heard the executive session items 11 through 18. Do I have a motion to go into executive session? Moved by Mr. Smith. Second by anyone? Mr. Hollinshead. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're in executive session. We'll be back shortly.
Warming up outside.
It is.
We walked back from the castle and I was like, oh.
I got spoiled last week. Gorgeous. Sure was. Huh?
Beautiful weekend. Beautiful. Oh, yeah.
The river is just out of control.
I know. A friend of mine works at the OJ and she's over the nursing homes and stuff, and they've had to evacuate people several times up there because of the red.
Cross Lake, too. Cross Lake's fine.
My son's high school is in the semifinal baseball, and they're going up to Bossier.
Really?
Thursday.
Oh, who's he playing for?
St. Michael's. Well, my son doesn't play for St. Michael's, but that's the school he's at.
Oh.
Yeah.
Varsity.
I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by anyone? Mr. Hike? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in regular session. I'd like to cover the
Jim,
items.
Jim, you want to go in order or you want me to go?
I'll go last.
You want to go out of order?
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Ryan Seideman with the Attorney General's Office. Number 11, L.D. Miguez et al. Versus State of Louisiana et al. It's our recommendation that the board reject the settlement offer on the table and just looking for a motion to that effect.
Make a motion.
Motion by Mr. Smith to accept such recommendation, second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman,
Yes.
Allow me to register that I'm abstaining for reasons I mentioned.
All right.
In the executive session.
Mr. Hike is abstaining. Other than Mr. Hike, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. I believe item 18.
No, we've got to do 11 through 17.
11 through 17.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, 12 through 17. 12 through 17, as I mentioned in executive session, is effectively all one massive case. Just looking for, in all of those, State of Louisiana versus ASA 12, State of Louisiana versus ASA 13, Chesapeake versus Pintail 14, Petrohawk Operating Company versus Chesapeake, number 15, QEP Energy versus Pintail, number 16, and Stroud Petroleum versus Pintail, number 17. Just looking for authority in those to proceed as we discussed in executive session.
All right. Do we have a motion to accept Mr. Simon's recommendation? Moved by Mr. Cadero, second by Mr. Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
Item 18, which was previously described to you, we've received a settlement offer on an agreement with Bridgeline Holdings regarding storage of hydrocarbons, and there were four items that we were offered on. The cost for past storage, a future storage payment as well, a term for the agreement, and then a an inactivity termination provision. All other details to be worked out. And so as I put it to you in executive session for authority to accept those terms in principle. The final agreement to be brought to you for execution and approval upon those details being worked out.
All right. Do I have a motion to accept the staff's recommendation? Moved by Mr. Cadero, second by Mr. Smith. Any other questions or discussion?
I want to be registered as abstaining for reasons I mentioned in executive session.
All right. Mr. Hike will be abstaining. Other than Mr. Hack, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. I believe that's all the items for legal and title controversy, so this time I'll entertain a motion to adjourn legal and title. Moved by Ms. LeBlanc, second by Mr. Hollingshead. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Legal and title is convened. Is,
which book over here?
Which? The docket review committee is called to order. Roll call will be called. Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mrs. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Harris? Mr. Cordera?
Here.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Hollinson?
Here.
Mr. Watkins?
Here.
Mr. Bradbury? We do have a quorum.
And at this time, I'd like to have Mr. New Fontenot as my designee to present the agenda items.
Thank you, ma'am. The items being submitted to the State Mineral and Energy Board for consideration are Category A state agency leases. There are no items on the agenda for consideration under Category B state lease transfers. Staff has recommended items 1 through 13 be approved. Under Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries state agency lease transfers. There are no items on the agenda for consideration. And under Category D, advertised proposals, staff recommends that items 1, 3, 4, and 5 be approved and item 2 be deferred.
All right, do you have to go through those or they can just be approved in that manner?
Approved in that manner, ma'am.
Are there any public comments on these items? Are there any comments from the committee? All in favor of the motion?
Oh, we have to make a motion. I'll move.
All
accept
right,
staff's recommendation.
Very good. Mr. Smith, second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Faulkner, does that complete your agenda?
I'm sorry. My apologies. Okay. Yes, ma'am. That completes the agenda items for today.
I'll entertain a motion in a second.
Move to adjourn.
Agenda nomination and track committee.
Second to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I'd like to call the order of regular meeting in Lee Staff on May 11, 2016. First item is roll call.
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Segura.
Here.
Ms. Hodges.
Here.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Hike.
Here.
Ms. LeBlanc.
Here.
Mr. Hollinshead.
Here.
Mr. Watkins.
Here.
Mr. Bradbury. Mr. Chairman, we have 9 members present and a quorum.
Thank you. Item 2 is the approval of the April 13, 2016 minutes. I believe everyone has a copy in front of them. As well as received a copy through email.
I move to approve those minutes.
Move by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Hike. Any comments or questions with the approval of the minutes?
I do have a comment.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hike.
Is it appropriate at this time that I make a motion that from this point forward that the minutes be placed in our packet? So that we can review them prior to. I know that we sent those minutes electronically.
You can make a request. I mean,
although I didn't, if I remember correctly, I may have gotten them yesterday. Okay. Is it appropriate now to make that motion?
We can do it now. We need to do business.
So I move that from this point forward that the minutes, written copy of the minutes, be placed in our packet before each meeting.
We have a second motion from Mr. Hank to put a copy of the minutes in every packet for monthly meetings. Can I have a second for that motion?
Second.
Mr. Smith makes a second. Any comments or questions on that motion? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to Mr. Hank's motion? Hearing none, that motion carries. The previous motion was approved by Mr. Segura. Any further comments or questions on that motion? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to approving the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Item 3 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. A, Lease Review Committee. B, Nomination and Track Committee. C, Audit Committee. D, Legal and Title Controversy Committee. And E, Docket Review Committee. Do you have a motion to approve those committee recommendations?
Move to approve those committee recommendations.
If I move by Mrs. Segura, second by Mrs. LeBlanc. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to approving these recommendations? Hearing none, those recommendations are approved. Item 4 is new business. Any board members have any new business? Mr. Hike got one in force already?
Excuse me?
Any new business? You're good.
Yeah. last meeting made a motion that we review the rules of procedure, and I made that request. I've been making that request now for 6 months or so, and it's not on the agenda. I wanted to be placed on the agenda. I understand that Mr. Bradbury made a motion at the last meeting that a request would be made prior to the meetings to all of us that any issues that we want to be placed on the agenda be placed on the agenda. I made that request, and it's not on the agenda. I'd like to know, I guess, from staff as to whether or not there's been any work done in that regard, in the regard of changing our procedures.
Mr. Hike, Ryan Seidman with the Attorney General's Office. Yeah, we've looked into at what I understand your questions to be, and from a parliamentary standpoint, there's no prohibition, as I understand it. What you had asked in the past was to look into the feasibility of eliminating the separate committee meetings, since it's basically a committee of the whole anyway, eliminating the individual committee meetings, just have the individual staff responsible for that portion come up, present their stuff, motions or done as necessary, and then to have all of the to condense all of the committee's individual executive session items into one larger executive session. There's no parliamentary prohibition to either of those requests. I think the logistical reality of that is that we would have to be mindful of the start time of the meeting and either pull it back to 8:30, 9:30, something like that? 9:30?
The committees start at 9:30 right now.
Okay, so to either do that at 9:30 to start the regular meeting to give time for the committees, or not start the meeting until 11 but recognize that it would have to be kicked out. So I think that's the only logistical difference. And then I think one of the questions that I was not clear on, maybe you can clear that up for me now, is was it your intent, and it could be done either way, but was it your intent to propose a one single executive session to consider both any committee matters, legal and title, audit, what have you, that might come up, as well as consideration of the bids, or did you want to keep those two things separate? Either way can be done, but in terms of if you're looking for a formal proposed resolution to make, say, at next meeting as to how things are going to proceed, then I think we need direction in that regard.
Okay. You know, my thought was at the last meeting that I had requested from, I guess, from you, Ryan, and I appreciate your assistance in this regard. I thought that you were going to give us some direction as to how we can change the procedures so we can streamline some of our business. And subsequent to that meeting, I had a meeting with Mr. Boulette, and he told me that this request was going to be on this agenda today, but again, it was not. My thought would be that it would be that we should consider changing our procedures, which would be similar to the way the legislative committees work. And I can't sit here and give you exactly what those procedures are, but I'll give you in a general sense how it works. And that is that, and the reason I say that is because I've only been on this board for 2 years, but I don't understand why it is that we've never had individual subcommittees meet to discuss any particular items except in the process which the whole board is sitting. I don't think that we should do away with the subcommittees. That's my thought. I think we should maintain the subcommittees. And if there is something that would, an issue that would come up which would require some debate among the subcommittees, then that subcommittee would meet and hash it out and make a report to the full board. But as each particular division of DNR comes before us They would come before us just as a department head would before a legislative committee, and we would accept their information, and we would vote on their information just as a legislative committee would do, and not necessarily go into a committee of the whole. I also think that we should have a particular rule wherein we would receive all executive session issues at one time so that we avoid, you know, the back and forth getting up to act upon executive session issues. I have not sat down and written out how I think these rules should be changed, but I would suggest that it could be done and should maybe, you know, follow the procedure of the legislative committees with certain exceptions. It seems to me that would streamline our business. It would still allow for committees to meet if, in fact, we have a subject matter that is should be met in a separate meeting of some nature with staff. That's my thought.
If I may?
Yes, sir.
If the board is to be divided into subcommittees or committees to deal with individual issue areas, so for example, if you were to create a legal and title subcommittee that consisted perhaps of three board members, then of course that committee would also be subject to regular open meetings requirements and things like that, such that we would have to post an agenda, have the formal meeting, everything.
Absolutely.
I guess in that regard, that would create, I think, more public meetings at which various members would have to attend. Now, admittedly, not all the members under that scenario would have to attend each of those, but it would set up a separate public meeting for each of the things that are considered monthly at one committee meeting. And I think that's both a logistical and a cost issue that needs to be considered. And there's no way that we can get around that. So in that regard, you know, I'm not sure that the board can function in the same manner as the legislature. I think then with regard to, again,
let me stop you right there.
Sure.
Please. Each legislative committee has subcommittees.
Correct.
When those subcommittees meet, they also have to publish.
That's correct.
And invite the public to comment. And that's fine. Nobody wants to circumvent the open meetings law or any of those requirements.
That's not what I was suggesting.
But as long as I've been on the board, at least, these subcommittees have never had an opportunity or a reason to meet other than just receiving the information from staff.
I see. So what you're proposing then is...
But it's in fact, there is an issue that needs to be debated or considered, then that subcommittee would meet at a separate time, a time in which the chairman would designate. I don't know if it would be at 8 o'clock in the morning the same day or 10 o'clock in the morning the day before. But we've never, at least I have not experienced that as long as I've been on the...
Previously, we used to actually have the committee meetings the day before.
Pardon me?
You said the committee meetings the day before the lease sale.
Right.
And obviously all the board members would come in, have those meetings, just the committee meetings, and if there's any issues, we could take care of it then. But it may have fallen, obviously, we're staying overnight then.
Well, and I understand that.
That's why we moved it to the morning.
And I understand that. But we've never had to do that for the 2 years that I've been involved.
Oh, no, we have done that for 8 years, at least.
8 years. So it would seem to me that we could still maintain the committee structure that we have, but if there is no need for those subcommittees to report separately or to meet separately, then the staff presents its information to the entire board, and we operate in that fashion. So, it's been 8 years since the subcommittee met separately from the board.
Well, separate on a day prior to the board meeting.
And I think I think it's been longer than that because I think this predates me.
predates us, Gordon.
Then it predates me. At that time, then, did we have the whole board meeting as the individual committees? As in other words, yes. So, in other words, it was just like the 9:30 committee presentations that we have now. Before the full board, it was just a separate day.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
And that's not what you're envisioning, Mr. Hike.
Not really.
You're envisioning a smaller. Let me propose too, Mr. Hike, if you'd like, we can try to maybe caucus offline, you and I, and see if we can map out what you're doing. So I don't want to suck up everybody's time, and I apologize for that.
I understand that.
But I think from a parliamentary standpoint, and a couple of things, it was my understanding, number one, that our charge was to see whether the proposal to revise various things being, could we consolidate the committee meetings, could we get rid of the individual committees, just have presentations, have one executive session, did that comport with parliamentary procedure? And the answer is we looked into it, and it does. There's no problem with that. If we want to do something more akin to what you're proposing, that certainly comports with parliamentary procedure as well, based on what we'd already looked at. I think at that point it's just a matter of structuring how a proposed resolution would look to establish that. And maybe it's easier for me to get with you offline and we can try to structure something that you can present next month. And with all of that said, though, I guess it was my understanding that this was not going to be on the agenda today, and for that I apologize, but we had done the work, and that's what we've
got. No problem. As long as we get there, it doesn't make any difference when we get there. But I think, you know, listen, I'm not wanting to speak to the entire board. It's just my personal feelings that the rules of procedure should be changed, and I'd like to hear from the rest of the members of the board as to whether or not you would agree.
Personally, I think it needs to be studied, and I think that if you meet with this gentleman and come up with some recommendations that are conducive to saving time, I would want to listen to that.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Okay. Item 5 is to go into the executive session for technical briefing. He isn't running yet?
No.
Okay. Okay, I need a motion to go into recess for 20 minutes while the staff is preparing a presentation. Got a motion, please?
Move.
Will Mr. Gore, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Hearing none, we are taking a 20-minute recess. Thank you.
I don't care.
Okay, so
I'd like to get a motion to come out of recess, please. I'll move. We're Mr. Gore, second by Mr. Hollinshead, to come out of recess and go back into our mineral lease sale. We're on item 5, executive session for technical briefing. I believe the staff is ready, so I need a motion to go to executive session.
Move to go to executive session.
For technical briefing, move to Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, we're in executive session. Thank you.
I don't know if I can vote anymore.
Behave yourself, all right?
Y'all come to vote.
Okay.
Okay, I need a motion to come out of executive session, please. Move by Mr. Hollinshead to come out of executive session. Second by Mr. Hike. Any comments or questions? Anyone opposed to coming out of executive session? Hearing none, we are out of executive session. Mr. Vaughn, can you please give us your staff recommendations?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make it short. The staff recommends that all of the bids be accepted.
Thank you. You heard the staff's report and recommendation. We have a motion to approve, please. Move by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Hollinshead, to approve staff's recommendation on the leases and award them. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to these leases being awarded? Hearing none, it is approved. Item seven is announcements.
The total for today's lease sale is $312,958.30, bringing the fiscal year-to-date total to just under $5.5 million. Other announcements, a reminder to board members who were members of the board in 2015 that your ethics disclosures forms are due to the Board of Ethics by the 15th of this month. And finally, the quarterly mineral revenue and production report, it has been produced, and I'll send you all a link to that report this afternoon.
Okay. There be no further items on the agenda. I'll make a motion to adjourn, please. Move by Mr. Heiss, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any comments or questions from the board? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed to our adjournment? Hearing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.